Turn this morning to Isaiah chapter 41
and John 15. Isaiah 41 and John 15. Isaiah chapter 41. And notice verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, which is interesting because most folks are right-handed, so that means he's holding your strong hand, which means that you're having to do things with your left hand, which means that sometimes he'll take your strength away and hold that so you can't use that. That's just an aside. The sermon's not about that. Saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I would focus you on fear not, thou worm Jacob. I know that's very edifying, but just hang on to it for a second. John 15. John 15, 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Father, come to you here this morning, and we miss some of the folks that we're missing here that are out on the road and stuff. It's been a busy time, as we've said. Appreciate your blessing upon those things that we've done, our labors that we have accomplished, and those things that yet are to come. We think about revival coming up here pretty quick. We need to be in the midst of preparing our hearts for that. May you bless this morning, Father. We also come to you here on a holiday weekend as our country views it. May you give us some fruitful thoughts along these lines, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty. As everybody's aware, Friday was Independence Day. It is the day that we, of course, commemorate our, as a country, breaking away from Great Britain formally back in 1776, and we said that we no longer are dependent upon you, therefore we are declaring our independence. I know that there are men that live back there, our founding fathers and such, that were of questionable theological bent. They were not all Christians by any stretch like you and I are. I will say this. Their concept of independence, among other things, are a good deal different than our concepts today as far as generally a country is concerned. Those men viewed, of course, things that now resound in our ears as being very important. Freedom, liberty, independence. And again, they had quite a different concept than we have today. When you start talking about liberty and freedom today, the change that's occurred since 1776 is rather extraordinary. The liberty and freedom and independence today is almost a Frankenstein monster as compared to what those men viewed those issues as. Our liberty was founded as a liberty away from tyranny. Our freedom was, the concept was a freedom from tyranny. Our independence was based upon the idea that we wish to be independent of a tyrant telling us how much tax to pay and when we don't even have representation. And of course, folded into all that is religious liberty and the Bible and all that kind of thing. Needless to say, what is now practiced as liberty and freedom and independence is quite a bit different than those men viewed it then. I wanted you to see in Isaiah chapter 41, I wanted you to notice where it says in verse 14, fear not, thou worm Jacob. Now, I know that's Jacob, I know that's Israel, but you're called a worm in other spots. I'll hit that later. I want you to see in Isaiah 41 what you are. And worm is not terribly edifying. He says in John 15, without me you can do nothing. I wanted you to see what you can do. You're a worm and you're nothing. And you can't do anything. Now that's the reason I brought all that up is because the title of this message this morning is My Declaration of Dependence. I declare my dependence with the understanding that it's a dependence upon God. Because of the hijacking, the commandeering that's occurred in our country around those concepts of independence and liberty and freedom. Nowadays, liberty and freedom is exercised in perversion and immorality, if not amorality, and various other things. And our independence as Americans is almost now viewed as a moral and spiritual independence that goes way outside the boundaries of anything that anybody in 1776 even had any ideas about. And so I thought that for my part as a Christian, a Bible-believing Christian American, that I should make sure and make some corrections and make sure that everybody understands that while I'm perfectly happy being out from under the tyranny of Great Britain for these 200 plus years, that at the same time, I am still very dependent upon God. And so I declare to you this morning my declaration of dependence. Dependence is not in the Bible as a word, but as a concept it is because you're told to lean, to trust, to rely, to hope, to wait on, and rest in. Let me give you some examples. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Everybody that's ever died, for the most part, didn't know that tomorrow was the day. See, there's just an awful lot you're not in control of. There's an awful lot you're not independent of. The Bible says, what is your life? It is a vapor. It appeareth for a short time, then fadeth away. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. You are not independent. I'm happy to be independent from Great Britain. I'm happy, at least, in concept, to be independent of tyranny. Although, that's an arguable concept these days, amen? But the point is that those concepts of independence and liberty and freedom have been commandeered and hijacked so that now folks are free agents and almost really, really rebels. And that has spread to the Christian forum as well. I'm just here this morning to declare my declaration of dependence, to make sure that you understand where I'm at. I'm going to try to convince you to come with me. All right? Bible says, I laid me down and slept. And I awaked because the Lord sustained me. I am so dependent that I can't wake up without God. Ever think about the fact that you are so vulnerable that the fact that you go to sleep, there's no reason that you should wake up unless God arouses you. Job said that the Lord holds every soul in His hand and the breath of all mankind. My breathing is in the hand of God. I am not independent. All flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth. The flower thereof falleth away, but the word of our Lord endureth forever. Cease from man, says Isaiah, whose breath is in his nostrils. For whereof is he to be accounted of? See, man has gotten too big for his britches. Man thinks he can control his destiny. Man thinks he can control his fate. That is bled over. Of course, as Americans, we have perhaps a peculiar worldview of these things, and that worldview is now being shaken because things in our country are being shaken up. But I dare say that there was a hijacking, a commandeering of ideas that has taken place over a long period of time, and really, we have been nowhere near as independent, morally and spiritually, as some have set forth. You are not called to be independent outside the boundaries of the Bible and outside the boundaries of what God has allowed you. Man has gotten too big for his britches. I saw a advertisement not too long ago, and what you saw in the advertisement was a upper torso of a big old buff, cut up bodybuilder guy. At the bottom of it, it says, "You are a god. You're a god whom the worms are going to eat." And I'm saying that man has gotten too big for his britches. In our diversity-oriented society, in our rights-sensitive society, it's kind of hard to see anybody in America responding to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Syrophoenician woman did. He said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. You're the dog." And her saying, "Oh yes, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." It's almost impossible to see the average American that we street preach to on Nicollet respond as that woman did. Because of the independence of our mindset, we are so independent that now men think that they can be independent of God. Think about the Lord walking up to that publican, Levi, and saying, "Follow me." The guy has invested a good deal of his life in that job. He's a publican. He folds up the money tray and gets up and walks away with Jesus Christ. Hard to picture the average American being so, placing himself in a position so dependent upon the Lord that he would simply walk, quit his job on the spot and follow him. Our average response would be, "Well, wait a minute," and object and have some indignation about, "This is what I've invested my life in. I can't just leave this and da 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 da." Abraham, pack your duds, leave your family. I'll show you where to camp every night. What? I got a wife. I got kids coming, we hope, one day. I got all kinds of stuff. I got sheep. I got cattle. What do you mean just pick up and leave? Well, I mean pick up and leave. My point is that we have gotten really, really independent in nature. And I want to say this morning, I want to declare my dependence. Because I am dependent upon God. I don't mean that this is celestial welfare. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that a Christian should be a bum. But I hope to illuminate this morning your dependence upon God. And if that conflicts with what you've been taught an American is or should be, do I have to ask you which one you should go with? Let me preach to you about my declaration of dependence. As I understand it, I got thinking about independence and dependence. And as best I can figure, I can identify three things. I can say that one thing about dependence, when I say I'm dependent upon God, I'm saying, first of all, that I need Him. Right? If you're dependent upon somebody, you need them. We declared to Great Britain 200 plus, well over 200 years ago, that we don't need you anymore, right? There was a day during the colonial period where arguably we needed them. We said in 1776, we don't need you anymore, and we proved it by fighting and winning a war. Well, praise the Lord, and I'm glad for that. But I am telling you this morning that I need God. This is a dependence. It's one thing that is clear in Scripture. It's the idea that man needs God. God is not a luxury. God is not an option if you want to wake up from your nap. God is not an option if you intend to breathe. If you intend to be a living soul, God is not an option. You need Him. He gives you your breath. He wakes you up from your nap. He lets you have your food. He gives you your youth, your strength, and vitality. He provides you with all that you have materially. No, sir. I need God. He is a necessity. I am a worm. Okay? And without Him, I can do nothing. Did you know that in spite of all the things that man trumpets, that man has accomplished, man has really done nothing but make a mess continually. At least when you read the Bible now, if you go read secular history, you're not going to quite see it in this light. But when I read Bible history, I start with a perfect man and a perfect woman in a perfect environment with no sin. And I don't know how long it took them, but it didn't take them very long to mess up that scenario, and that's where all our problems came from. Here is the Lord that takes Noah and judges the world, and it took Noah no longer than it took time to grow grapes and have those grapes ferment to get drunk. And then his son Ham came into him and did some unspeakable things. Man has done nothing but mess up stuff from day one. Adam, Eve, Cain and Abel, Noah and Ham, David, Solomon, Rehoboam, Asa, one king after another. Isaac, Rebecca, Esau, Isaac. It just is a continuing line of failures as men, including Simon Peter and Paul. I say that to say, folks, that man is a high maintenance item. Man is a failure in God's sight. He is without Christ, without hope, without God in this world, without excuse at judgment. I'm telling you, folks, I need God. God is not a luxury. It's not just that it sure is nice to have the Lord around when I need Him. I need Him not only every hour, I need Him every moment. I am dependent upon God. I need Him. And you're no different. You're no different at all. I need Him for salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You need Him for salvation. I need Him for tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. If I'm going to wake up and do anything tomorrow, I need God. You understand? He is the health of my countenance. I need Him for my health. I need Him for my life. I need Him for my breath. I've discussed that. I need Him for sleep. He has to wake me up, according to the Bible. If I'm going to wake up from my nap, my much looked forward to nap this afternoon. If I don't show up tonight, you might presume that I didn't wake up from my nap because the Lord didn't want me to. Now, I intend to be here, but I need Him to wake me up. How long has it been since you thought about that? Really? I bet you take waking up kind of in hand with how things should be. Kind of like the sun rising and the sun setting. The Bible says, I awake because the Lord sustained me. The battle is the Lord's. I need Him for the battle. A prudent wife is from the Lord. I need Him for my family. The Bible says that children are a heritage of the Lord. I need Him for my kids. Right? I need God. I am dependent upon Him. I am not independent. I am not a free agent. He knows where to reach me any moment of the day or hour. He can get me anytime He wants me. I need Him. I am dependent upon Him for a sound mind. He's given us power, love, and of a sound mind. Nebuchadnezzar learned that he could not take his understanding for granted. Nebuchadnezzar learned that he could not take clear, concise thinking for granted, because God decided in a swift moment to remove those qualities from him, to judge him, and he gave them back in time, and I'm glad. But Nebuchadnezzar at least learned that he was not independent of God. He was very dependent of God. Your thoughts themselves, if they're clear, if they're concise, if your judgments are prudent and discreet, you're dependent upon God for those things. I'm dependent upon God for wisdom. Jesus Christ gives me my wisdom. Jesus Christ said to Martha, he said, but one thing is needful. Mary needs, just like you need, to be able to sit at my feet and hear my wisdom. That's what's really needed. I'm telling you folks, I need God. I don't just need faith in some generic corporate divine being or divine creator or some indefinite faith in a theistic type God. I am dependent upon the God of the Bible. I am dependent, I am needful of knowing the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God who came and died for my sins. I need that God. The attack involves the devil convincing men across the board that they no longer need God. I am convinced that when I go and talk to the average person out in society, I am convinced that that person generally across the board has come to the conclusion that they do not need God. That God is perhaps an option that should be tapped into when they're sick and when they're dying and perhaps on a deathbed. But as far as the necessity of God in average day-to-day life, I'm convinced that I talk to a public that does not believe that they truly need God. There are very few things today that are more common than disdain for the God of the Bible and the Bible that God wrote. And that's how subtle Satan is. Satan is subtle enough to still leave men. Look, I'm dependent upon God for tomorrow, my breath, my life, my soul, my family. Satan is subtle enough to still leave men without the guarantee of tomorrow or the guarantee of a stable family, and yet they don't know that their dependence is upon God for it. They have adjusted gods. They have changed. And sometimes they're not even aware that they have changed gods. Ladies and gentlemen, my declaration is that I need the Lord. I am dependent. I am dependent upon Him. There's a lot of other junk I don't need. There's a bunch of baling wire and Band-Aids and bubble gum and pills and ideas and theories about things that folks insist that I should be a part of. And I don't need those things. I need the Lord. I am dependent upon Him for my sanity, for my life, for my strength, for my health, for my wife, for my kids, for my grandkids, for my friends. I am dependent upon God for those things. My God, by the way, is dependable in meeting those needs. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Is that right? But what I have got works better than anything any psychiatrist ever prescribed. What I've got works better than scientists even know or understand. But it all revolves around my dependence upon God and the first step in that dependence. I need Him. And I know it. The great mistake of young people is that they view themselves as strong. Some view themselves as almost indestructible. There is no greater delusion in this world. You need God. You need God for safety. You need God just to stay thinking right. You need Him. There's another thing about dependence that I would like to bring out, and it seems implied in the basic understanding of what dependence is. And that is trust. Not just need, but trust. When you depend upon somebody, you trust them. Is that right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. It says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. I want to say that here, the devil has almost completely succeeded in separating people irreversibly from the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they have, the world has largely succeeded in convincing people that not only do they not need God, but if they did, they couldn't trust Him anyway. Nowadays, anything might be true according to this world except what the Bible says. Any method might just be a workable method of child rearing, of making money, of investment principles in the future as far as what you do with your time, your effort, your money, your strength, your youth. Any method's dependable except what the Bible says. I'm telling you, folks, we have now reached a day where no matter what the Bible says about anything, there's always an expert that says, "Nuh-uh, it's just true." Any explanation for any problem or any diagnosis is acceptable to this world except the Bible's diagnosis of it. Anything that's connected to Orthodox biblical Christianity and its God is now viewed as untrustworthy. What Jesus did here on earth, how He did it, where He walked, how He walked, where He ate, what He did while eating, what He did while He eating, all of those things have been routinely torn down. The devil has largely succeeded entirely in corrupting folks' trust in the record that God gave us of all that He did. As soon as you say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, automatically somebody in public says, "No, couldn't be that way. Not possible, not possible." When you say, "But we have a Savior that rose from the dead," "No, it's not possible." The God that you trust is now entirely viewed as untrustworthy in this world. Satan has so thoroughly demolished trust in God that now the seminaries that teach the Bible in His name are teaching that what the Bible says is not true. Eve was the first graduate of that school. That school has been matriculating students ever since. Ladies and gentlemen, my declaration of dependence is that I need Him. And this is not a luxury. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, my Christianity, it's not a luxury. I have to have Him. I need Him. And furthermore, I trust Him. Balaam stood and said, "God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent." You know, folks, there's an awful lot that's built up on one singular attribute. The attributes of God that flow into it are holiness, omniscience, omnipotence, and a lot of things. In the end, if the devil can corrupt your view of God's integrity, he has destroyed your Christianity. He has destroyed, if you're lost, your soul. Because if God can't be trusted for His Word, He can't be trusted for anything. I just want to say that I trust God. I'm dependent upon Him. And my weakness and my need dictates that I would trust Him. Because He's the only one that has any answer for me. One day, I'm going to leave this earth. Maybe I'll die before the rapture. Maybe I'll get to go up in the rapture. One day it'll all be over. I hope when it is over, I hope to be a part. You know, some folks are Marines down here. Some folks are SEALs and Rangers. Some folks belong to the Kiwanis Club. Some folks belong to Genius Clubs and all this kind of stuff. There's one club I'd like very much to be a part of. And that is a group of exclusive people that stepped out and trusted God almost in spite of the highest of odds. Here's a Syrophoenician woman for whom, to whom the Lord said, it is not fit to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And you know what she said? She said, truth, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the children's table. That is a remarkable amount of trust in a man that just insulted you. It's remarkable. Here is another. Here is Levi. I mentioned him earlier. No introduction. Walks up to the table. Follow me. Turns and walks off. What does it take for you to leave your vocation cold? Not even letting your boss know. Walking away from the table and following a man that you've not even been introduced to. You know what that is? That's trust. Yeah? Here is a centurion. His daughter is sick. The Lord sends word that he'll come and heal the daughter. And the centurion says a remarkable thing. He says, listen, I am an officer in the army. I understand how authority works. If you're capable of healing my daughter, don't bother to come. I know if you're capable of healing her, you can send your word and do it just as well from afar as near. And the Lord said, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. Folks, that centurion trusted God. Here is yet another. Lord says, will you also go away? And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Whatever else can be said, Simon Peter trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I am dependent like that. I need Him. And you might even say, I trust Him because I have to. There comes a point of weakness where you have to trust somebody. It was only a few years ago that I was so weak and incapacitated that I had to trust a Somali female nurse to give me a shower. For those of you that don't know, I had a stroke. By the time you've been 10 days without a shower, I gotta have a shower. It's pretty bad when you can't take your own shower. But you know, there comes a point of weakness where trust becomes a need. And you have to trust somebody. Maybe that's what this is all about. Maybe this is about the Lord reducing you to the point of need where He's the only one that you can trust. You know? But my declaration of dependence revolves around my need of Him. My trust of Him. Here is Hezekiah that stands on a battlefield the morning after. He is grossly outnumbered and besieged, and yet there lay all around about him 185,000 enemy soldiers that died in their sleep. And the man that had insulted him over his trust in the God that he was serving. Yet that king had to flee back to his country. There he was killed by his own sons, by the way. Meanwhile, Hezekiah stands on a field that where no arrow was shot, and around about him were 185,000 dead enemy soldiers. Amen? I need Him. I trust Him. Where is the evidence, folks, that the Lord does not do what He said He would do? You couldn't prove it by Adam. You couldn't prove it by Eve. You couldn't prove it by Cain and Abel. You couldn't prove it by David. All those men learned that they could trust God. I'm saying here this morning, I'm so glad to be able to live in America. I'm glad to be an American. I'm patriotic. I support our troops. I love the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, the SEALs, and the Rangers. But ladies and gentlemen, the strength is not in our armies. And the strength is not in our tanks or our missiles or our planes. Our strength is in our weakness. And our strength is in our dependence upon God. Part of dependence is need. Part of dependence is trust. there's one final thing to add to this. And I guess the right word is subordination. The right word, I guess, is obedience. Nobody in the Bible that God used got to call their own shots. Nobody in the Bible that God did something with got to alter the rules, got to be an exception. Nobody in the Bible that God used got to wander outside the boundaries of what God gave them to do and allowed them to do. I dare say that that's not the idea even in Christianity today. Again, liberty and freedom have taken flight of their own, have been commandeered, they've run away to the point that nowadays, truthfully speaking, rebellion is an honorable thing. To stand in distance from the Bible and say, well, I believe that, that, and that, but that, yeah, I don't believe that. That's now become an honored tradition in biblical Christianity. I just want to say, according to Samuel, rebellion is as witchcraft. Okay? And if I say that I am dependent upon God, and I am, I'm acknowledging my need. I'm acknowledging my trust. And it follows that I have to be subordinate to the God that I trust and the God that I need. But it's subordination. Satan has turned us into a nation of rebels. I speak in as an American. I believe that he has gone a long way at this juncture in time in turning the church into a church of rebels. I speak not particularly of you personally, but I just see what happens around about us, and you read things about what's going on in churches and outside of churches, and I realize now that this country that used to be called a Christian country is the farthest thing from it. And the church that is called the body of Christ is quite really the farthest thing from it. Because it is no longer subordinate. It will no longer take orders. It no longer can hear what is said and leave what is said as said and simply do it. As I said in Sunday school, you have to go to the Greek now and get somebody else's opinion. By the time it's over with, you don't even have to do what he said do. You know? God's book is maligned, as outdated, as inaccurate, as conflicting. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, it is not. It is perfectly consistent from front to back with all that you need. I'm telling you, you can trust the God of this book that gave you these words. I am dependent upon God. I am not independent. I'm glad to be independent of Great Britain. Been happy for that for 200 plus years. But I am not dependent from God. I need Him. I trust Him. And by the grace of God, I have to be subordinate to Him. You know, I'm so tired of Christians that say how much they love the Lord, and then they live like the devil. And you know, when I say live like the devil, folks say, well, you mean they're running around murdering people and raping people. And that's not how the devil lived in the Bible. The devil showed up in Job and backtalked the Lord and sought with desire to ruin a saint's testimony. He showed up grumbling and griping. He showed up in Genesis 3 trying to undermine a saint's faith in the God that gave her life. I'm telling you, folks, the devil has almost entirely succeeded worldwide across the globe, including Christians, of turning us into rebels. God is qualified to lead. God is qualified to tell you what to do. God is qualified to give you orders. God sees as nobody else sees. And after He's told you to do something that you don't want to do and desire to rebel against doing it, by the way, He is not required to explain to you why he wants you to do it. Please remember that in Job's day, Job did not get an explanation, as far as I read it, as why God did what he did. But in the end, Job was subordinate. Job knew he needed God. Job did trust God. And Job was subordinate to him. To ignore the last thing is to overthrow the whole thing. To not be obedient is to not trust. It's basically to declare that you do not need him. You know my story, most of you. I got saved at 10. I really didn't get right with God until I was 22. I had to run the course and go prove to myself that, you know, I couldn't do it, I guess. By the time I was 10 years old in the Lord, I was at the end of my rope and unhappy and broken. No answers, didn't even know the questions, to be honest with you. And I turned back to the Lord God of my fathers. And I turned back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's amazing to think back now of the amount of joy and light that flooded my soul just because I gave up the wheel and let the Lord have the wheel back and I quit trying to run my life. I found that I was totally unqualified. I found that I could control nothing. I found that I was stupid. I found that my desires couldn't be trusted. And when I turned and gave the Lord my life back, there was joy and light and understanding that flooded in that has not left me the same man that I was. Now, I'm not going to give you any misunderstanding. I still have my struggles with some things. But it's tough to forget the day when for the first time in years and years, I'd been happy. And it followed the day that I gave the Lord Jesus Christ back my life and essentially declared my dependence upon Him, not my independence of Him. I had tried that a long time ago. I came back to Him and said, Lord, I need You. And basically, I kind of have to trust You. Frankly, that's where we're painted. That's the corner we're painted into sometimes. Amen? And I'm willing to do what's necessary. And it worked. You got to be careful about letting the world's concepts run away with you. Because what the world now considers liberty and freedom and independence is not only not God's concept, it's not even the concept of the founders that set it in motion in the beginning. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank You this morning. We are thoroughly convinced that we have a God that loves us. And we know at the same time that God is a holy and righteous God. And Father, we are grateful for the mercy and grace that comes our way. Thank You for Your pity and Your long-suffering, Father. We ask here this morning that You might open somebody's eyes. There are young folks that are sitting in this room this morning. Help them not make the mistakes that I made personally. Help them to see that the sooner they come to a broken state of knowing their need of being willing to trust and obey, the better off they'll be. Father, many of us have learned these lessons the hard way. I ask this morning You'd help somebody to be able to learn it in faith. Lord, we love You. We need You. If there's somebody here lost this morning, may You deal with their hearts about their need for salvation, because they certainly do need the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books and turn this morning to number 252. 252.
Thank you.
just a minute. Give you an opportunity to come this morning. We have just passed a national holiday in which we as a country declared our independence. And I certainly have no conflict with that concept. But sometimes concepts can run away with us. And there is something that not any soul here has escaped the temptation of at some juncture in your life. The temptation to take control and to be an independent agent from the God of heaven. I hope you're convinced of how bad an idea that is. Some of us have learned the hard way. We hope that some of you might learn with less pain and less stripes and wounds than some of us. Why don't you declare your dependence this morning? You need Him. You should trust Him. And you should be subordinate. That's not Phariseeism. That's not legalism. That is abiding within the boundaries that God has laid out. It's now become the honored tradition among Christians to take a step further than the last generation and to be more rebellious than the generation before. Go past the fence line, to go past the boundary, over the wall. That's a really bad idea. Father, I pray that You'd make these things real to us this morning. We are busy. We are besieged by a thousand thoughts and concerns and distractions. And yet, Father, we ought to be totally focused upon our relationship with Thee. Father, may this be a help to somebody here in need. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing the last stanza before we go. To sign up for the fasting. If you're going to be involved with that, we hope that you will. Also, don't forget to sign up for a Katarina's reception before you leave today. We will see you tonight at 5:30, Lord willing, for a prayer meeting. Otherwise, 6 o'clock. We'll see you then. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We have need of You. We pray for safety, Father. We pray that You might wake us up, all of us, from our naps this afternoon. Lord, we are dependent upon Thee. I pray You'd help us to see it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Take care.